certain there. Please bow your head with me, heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed on this community, and we pray tonight for your guidance that our decisions will always be for the greater good of our community. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get to the agenda, we have an update by the Pecos Valley Drug Task Force and Commander Lennon Laos. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Hello, everybody. I prepared a bit of a slideshow, and just going to be talking about some of the successes we've had serving the community as of late. Everything I'm going to talk about today is within the last 2 years, a year and a half. So the task force currently is supplied with agents from the Carlsbad Police Department and the Eddy County Sheriff's Office. And then we have a BLM agent that helps us from time to time. Next slide. So this was in the last year. This was a seizure of 33 pounds of methamphetamine, 6,000 fentanyl pills, and 2 firearms. We're able to intercept this. It was all meant to come here to Carlsbad, Eddy County. We intercepted it at the checkpoint based on just some intel that we put out. We like to intercept them there because the bad guys here don't necessarily know how it got intercepted, and we can further the case that way. That was a really good case that required a lot of analytical work by the agents at the Drug Task Force. Next one. This is to kind of showcase the team effort that we have utilizing the canine program through Carlsbad Police Department. Officer Bonnell is a canine handler. This was 18 pounds of methamphetamine and over 2 pounds of fentanyl pills. We investigated it, we utilized the canine, and the reason I'm talking about the canine is because it's very important that we have that as a tool. So I want to commend the city for being able to supply the canine program as it is. Without the canine being, without the canine working that day, we wouldn't have been able to pull this car over and further it the way we did. Next slide. This came directly from the Juarez-El Paso corridor, so it comes from Juarez, Mexico. We know the guy sending it, he just doesn't ever leave Mexico, but he sends loads of drugs like this. We had info on it, we got it stopped, and then with the canine actually hitting on the car, that furthers our probable cause to actually search the vehicle. And next slide. So searching this vehicle, we call that an aftermarket compartment. This stop was on 62180, by the way. It came through Carlsbad from El Paso, and we stopped it on the Hobbs Highway, maybe about pretty much near the sheriff's posse. So aftermarket compartment is under the dash. This particular cartel likes to utilize the dash for their compartments, but they had all the bundles stuffed up there, which was the 18 pounds of and the 2 pounds of fentanyl. So that was a good team effort and a good work from the canine. Next one. This is California, Tijuana corridor. This initially started off with 6 pounds. We utilized the canine to get the stop done and the search. 6 pounds of meth and 4 ounces of heroin. This ultimately led, these drugs were being sent, sourced from a Mexican organization to Aryan Brotherhood related people in California who would then bring it to Carlsbad. So it was kind of, we had to get creative. Next slide. It led to an additional seizure of 10 pounds. Now this 10 pounds never made it here because we coordinated with our federal partners and local partners in California to knock off the guy that was responsible for sending it to Carlsbad to our people. So we locked up in total probably like 5 people. when we did the takedown, we did it all over phone, and the takedown was in California. One of the actual agents that assisted with the search of the vehicle, he was a sergeant for a narcotics group, and when they found that this guy, you know, we set him up, hey, come to the Allsups, and, you know, we'll do the deal there. He shows up, they do the takedown. Upon searching the car, they found a white powder in the cabin of the car, so that officer actually had a fentanyl exposure, and he fell and passed out during the search of this car. It turned into a big deal in that jurisdiction because they almost lost an officer to it. But luckily they had Narcan. He spent a few days in the hospital and he survived it. So we were very glad to get some of these people locked up. Next one. This is probably the most recent. This was maybe 2 months ago. What you see there is the canine program helping again. So we had information on this drug dealer. And what I can tell you is these drug dealers talk. This guy had just come out of federal prison, and the guys we put in federal prison tell him, hey, all the money's in Carlsbad. So he actually came from Phoenix, Arizona area. During the investigation, some of the interviewing that we did with this particular drug dealer, we said, you're from Arizona, why do you come to Carlsbad? He basically gave me a story that kind of blew my mind, because he had no reason to lie at that point about what he said. And what he said was, in prison they talk about how Carlsbad is a bit more lucrative for the price of a fentanyl pill. On average it's $10 here. In 2019, when we got our first fentanyl pills seized, they were $60. So it's been flooded to the point where the average price is $10 in Carlsbad. That's still a high price. So what this particular drug dealer told us is that in Arizona, he was selling there, but he said it's so flooded in Phoenix that the homeless people sell it for $1 to other homeless people for one pill of fentanyl. So he realized that if he wanted to make a better profit, he needed to bring it somewhere where it was more lucrative. So this guy targeted our community because he could make more money here. So we're very happy to lock him up. What you see there is a total, what we took from this guy was like $54,000 in currency, over five pounds of fentanyl pills, which when we do the math on the fentanyl pill, that was over 26,000 pills in these pictures, what you see. And 2 pounds of meth and about 4 ounces of powder, I believe, is what we took from him. So he's in federal custody, he's not coming out, and I hope he tells his buddies not to come to Carlsbad. So, next slide. Oh, we skipped one. That's just a picture of the 5 pounds of fentanyl pills that we got from him. So, it kind of just blew my mind that the pills are going for $1. And I can tell you we've debriefed other people that actually go into Mexico, and they're paying on average 25 cents for one fentanyl pill there. So when they get it in our area, it obviously, the profit margins are what drives the drug dealer's actions. Next one. It's one of the common food groups, you know, drugs, money, and guns. So this is all related to an active case we got going, and our agents are actually out there today hitting this guy again because he hasn't been locked up yet. So what you see depicted up there is 7 pounds of methamphetamine, currency, and over 21 firearms from this person. And he's selling a lot of fentanyl pills right now, so we're hoping to get him out of our community, obviously. Next one. I did bring some stats for y'all. We're going back, I guess, the last 3.5 years. So year to date for 2022, those stats are just from January to May. Everything else is complete years, but these are pounds. 2019, 40 pounds of meth. We had a record year in 2020, 124 pounds of meth. Year to date for 2022, January to May, we've seized over 78 pounds of methamphetamine in our community. That was destined for our community. Some of it we interdict before it gets here. Next one. Heroin seizures, they're down. These are in grams. So year to date, we've seized 79 grams of heroin. And everyone's just buying fentanyl. It's an opiate. Heroin is traditionally going to be more expensive. It's held its price at $20 for a tenth of a gram. Fentanyl is a better high, a longer high, and it's more readily available. So I believe the contrast here is heroin's down because fentanyl's up. Next slide. So these fentanyl seizures depicted in green are pills, which are the fake oxycodone M30 scribed blue pills that we get. The other one, the red line, is powder in grams. I can tell you the 9,000 grams of powder, that's all been year to date 2022. And the number, that's over 20 pounds of fentanyl powder that we've got that was destined for our community. 46,000 pills year to date. Keep in mind January to May. If you think about that number, that's almost a pill for almost everyone in the county. I know the county's a little bit bigger than that, but it's definitely more than enough pills for everyone in the city limits of Carlsbad. So those are staggering numbers. For me, when you look at 2019, our first fentanyl seizure, we seized 1,740 pills, and it's just been jumping ever since. So next one. Firearms from bottom to top, 2019 and going forward, we're at 42 thus far for this year. Next one. And this should be the last one. I just wanted to show the cases that we actually investigate and versus what when we actually make an arrest. So not every case are we able to make an arrest. Some of them remain active or long-term. Some of them are not adopted by the prosecutors involved. It's pretty tough to make a clean case utilizing New Mexico law as a law enforcement officer. But I think it's a pretty decent number. It's pretty close to the actual cases that we pull. So next one. Okay, that was a brief presentation.
I have a question for you, right? Two questions, actually. It actually shows us that elections have results, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it shows us. Through 2020, everything skyrocketed. Do the dogs, can they smell through a plastic bag?
Yes.
Can they?
Yes, they can.
They can.
Canines can, yes.
Okay. And why aren't we apprehending them at the border? They're coming across. Are the Border Patrol, they don't have dogs or what?
From what I understand, the Border Patrol men, and I talked to them, they help us. We have groups that we talk to. And they're so busy dealing with the bodies that, and those cartels are organized. They'll send the bodies over here and then flood the drugs over there. So, I mean, it's a mess, and we need to get a handle on it. Our government, federal government does. So.
Counselor? Great job, by the way. Very informative.
Thank you.
How about at our schools? Are you guys seeing a big increase of fentanyl in the schools, like in the high school or middle school? Hopefully not middle school, but
we aren't. Normally, if it's a minor thing like a vape or something, even a little bit of marijuana in the schools, the school resource officers will handle that. But something more felonious like that, we'd be in the loop on. And this year, I haven't heard of any fentanyl being in the school. So to me, I think those kids realize that it's a deadly game they'd be playing with that strong of a drug. And the people we are seeing are the ones that have been in the drug culture for so long, and they're just chasing a bigger, better high. So.
Counselor? Do you have a number for the number? I mean, you showed us how many arrests to how many cases. How many prosecutions have we had based on the number of cases? What's your percentage?
So the actual prosecutions that go through, that's a bit more of a tricky question because we get a lot of things that are nolle pros by the district attorney's office. But I can tell you on our federal cases, so we're at about 20% case adoption. And when the feds take the case, it's always, they will prosecute it all the way until the bad guy goes to prison. On the state side, so say we had 300 cases that year and 200 arrests, I would guess at least about 150 of those were actually a felony drug case behind them. What you're not seeing in there is the other 50 where if I went to this house and this guy just had a traffic warrant for speeding, a speeding ticket he didn't pay. So there's a little bit of that in there. But I can honestly tell you it's gotten, something has changed because the prosecutors aren't as, I wish they were more aggressive is what I'll say. You know, I spoke with Mr. Lowe. The one thing that's hurt us the most is that 2015 amendment to the New Mexico Constitution where it's a bond amendment where all you have to do is say, yeah, I'm a drug dealer, but I don't have money. So they tell you, okay, sign here. Don't sell drugs no more. Well, they come right back out. You know, we see it on the news. That's why Albuquerque's so bad. Carlsbad's bad, but we just don't have a big news outlet or three of them saying how bad things are here. And it's just because we've literally made cases on a drug dealer for five separate counts of drug trafficking fentanyl, which is a second degree felony. That's a high felony. And they're let out every time because it's not exigent violent circumstance. So it's frustrating, but it goes back to kind of what you brought up.
Mayor, I have a question. Commander, is it more local or is it more transient population that is feeding the drugs in or say using the drugs?
The users are local. Some of the oil field is, and not to say that they're doing anything wrong, but if they were, it's not going to be the hardcore drugs. So marijuana, cocaine, you know, that's kind of something that may be happening with the transient migrant working group of people. The locals that we have are the ones that have been in the drug culture forever or are new into it, and they're doing the harder stuff, which is the fentanyl, meth, heroin. And, you know, we have the resources to focus on the hard stuff, that's what we're going to focus on as opposed to some of this other stuff. But as a showcase with that gentleman that came here from Arizona to sell, he came here as a drug trafficker. And we have several corridors. I mean, a huge one that we deal with is El Paso Juarez corridor, and then of course Arizona and California. But there's tons of things going on. Like, there's a group of, and it's primarily females, and they're all from Carlsbad, and they're called bunnies. So they body carry. So they can body carry up to 1,000 fentanyl pills, which they call that a boat. And they go into Mexico, and there's people from Carlsbad living in Mexico. And, you know, they're avoiding justice for whatever reason, but they're living there. And they set them up. These girls go there, they'll live there, but they bring it back through their, you know, body carrying it, which is really almost impossible to catch them. We've made some cases on body carriers, but that's the term that the streets call them, is bunnies. They're drug bunnies. Not drug mules, drug bunnies, but they're mule and drugs. So there's a huge, I would say local, but, you know.
I have another
question. No, go ahead.
Okay. I have actually two more questions. Based on that 78% of pounds you've received this year, I believe, I might be stating it wrong. Since being only like half the year so far, are you going to break that number of your previous 20 and 21 years, or is it just the way the culture is right now?
I think we're going to easily have over 100 pounds. You're talking about the 78 pounds of meth that we have year to date. I think we're going to surpass 100. I don't know if we'll surpass more than 124, but I can tell you that the people that you staff that work at the drug task force, they want to beat the 124. So they're going to work hard to try to do it. They're that kind of people that work with us. So,
and then I have one more question. Last question. Sorry. This is the qualified immunity that was taken away from, I believe, the police officers of the governor. Has that affected the agents or any way or anything like that?
It affects us all mentally, because we're not sure anymore. You know, I'm less than 2 years away from retirement, and I've worked hard for the things I have. And, you know, when I see that bad guy, it's like, oh, something bad's going to happen because he may not want to go to jail. We think about it mentally, but to be honest, because we have the support of our community, Eddy County, Carlsbad, we really do. We have y'all's support. So we're not afraid. We'll go do it. And the bosses that I have, they make me comfortable knowing that if I go do that against one of the biggest criminals in our area, and it gets where force is used, I'm okay with that. And so are my guys, because we have the backing of our community. From y'all's level down to the people, down to the chiefs and sheriffs, we have y'all's backing. So that matters. Compare it to Albuquerque. Those officers do not feel backed by their community. So they literally will see the crime and they'll turn left. They've told me that. I talked to the commander of the Albuquerque group, and they've literally told me that. They will avoid use of force, confrontations on people that are wanted. They'll go the other way. So we don't do that here. So.
One last thing. You said these women body carry.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, is that a graphic thing? Is that like body cavities?
Body cavities, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, imagine getting that evidence and trying to handle it. You're having to use protective equipment around your face and hands. It's not
Thanks for
fun.
What you're doing. That's that's bad. Golly.
Thank you for everything you do.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Thank you.
Can I finish with one last thing and I'm done? Can you put it on the other thing? So the Pecos Valley Drug Task Force is HIDTA funded through the ONDCP Office of the National Drug Control Policy. They do this yearly, and this year, look at what's kind of there. Arizona, Michigan, Atlanta, San Diego, these are all big places. And our drug task force was part of a collaborative effort within southeastern New Mexico, and our men and women of the drug task force were recognized nationally for this award. It's only happened one other time, and it wasn't even locals. It was DEA out of Las Cruces. So this is the first time locals' initiatives have been recognized. Go ahead and scroll down. And we're competing with the biggest places that there are in the country. Go ahead and scroll down. So that's what we are recognized for amongst these Goliath cities that we're competing with, like Miami and Chicago. And being that we're a smaller group, we had to bring all of our resources together. So there's other initiatives there, like the Marshals, Roswell Metro Narcotics Group. What that means is that this HIDTA program that we participate in, it's working. We're able to take our rural, smaller communities and make a difference in a bigger stage. You know, the drug dealers, they don't have jurisdiction, and they don't care about selling drugs in Eddy County versus Travis County. So I just want to showcase this to show that the men and women at the drug task force are working, and you guys really have an excellent group of people that are working out there, so, and in local law enforcement as a whole. So wanted to showcase their hard work.
Further questions?
Okay, thank you guys.
Appreciate everything you do.
With that, we'll go to number one on the agenda, approval of the agenda.
So moved, Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Wilkerson?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Number two, City of Carlsbad Financials, May 2022, Ms. Salcedo.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Thank you for being here this evening. I'm sure you've had an opportunity to review the financials that are provided in your agenda packet. Therefore, I will only provide you a brief summary of the city's cash position as of May 2022, the 11th accounting period for FY22. The city had a beginning fiscal year cash balance of $95.9 million and an ending cash balance of $105.7 million. The city's revenues of $101.5 million are $4.4 million favorable to the $97.1 million budget and 4% above target. The city's labor costs of $45.7 million are $2.9 million favorable to the $48.6 million budget and 5% below target. The city's operating costs of $36.4 million are $6.6 million favorable to the $43 million budget and 14% below target. The city's capital costs of $10.2 million are $30.2 million favorable to the $40.4 million budget and 69% below target. Overall, from the previous fiscal year, there has been an increase of $9.8 million in the cash balance. This will conclude my summary unless there are any questions.
Question from Ms. Salcedo. Thank you, Ms. Salcedo. Thank you. Number three, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the city and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately. I would ask Mr. Lowe to briefly discuss D3.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, D3 is an agreement with the New Mexico Department of Transportation, Eddy County, for the Southeast Loop Safety Improvement Project. New Mexico DOT is installing traffic signals at the intersection of Green and the George Shoup relief route. The county has agreed to pay for 2/3 of the cost of the traffic signal, the New Mexico Department of Transportation paying the other 1/3. In turn, the city has agreed to pay for the electrical costs and the maintenance of that traffic signal.
Councilor.
John, hey, are these traffic lights that we're putting in now, are they of the newest varieties that are synchronized? So that they told me the reason why they can't do a lot of synchronization is because the lights are too old to synchronize. This one would be of the newest variety, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Just remember, it won't have much to synchronize with.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be the only one.
I know, but any time we
upgrade. Sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Anyway, it's a great deal for the city.
It's a great deal for the city.
Further questions? Comments?
May I move for approval?
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Wolterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number four, consider approval of annual city liquor license renewals. Mr. Lowe?
Yes. Mayor, members of the council, state statute requires the governing body to annually renew all business-owned liquor license. These licenses are renewed upon approval by the governing body, providing proof of their state-issued liquor license and a $250 payment to the city of Carlsbad. And those businesses I've been listed for you in your council packet.
Mm-hmm. Counselor?
Are the cannabis licenses going to be renewed with these liquor licenses?
That's a separate.
That's separate?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
Further questions?
Make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Seconded.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Wolterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Number five, consider approval of annual city cannabis license new and renewables. Mr. Lowe?
Yes. Mayor, members of the council, state statute requires the governing body to annually renew all business-owned cannabis license. These licenses are renewed upon approval by the governing body, providing proof of their state-issued cannabis license and a $250 payment to the city of Carlsbad. Those businesses have been listed for you in your packet as well.
Questions for Mr. Lowe?
Mr. Lowe, they haven't even been open for a year though, right? I mean, it seems kind of, I mean, I guess it's just the way they have to do it, but right. They've only been open like 2 months, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Be
by July 1st, correct.
Okay.
Is that a motion?
Make a motion for approval.
We have a motion and I think a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Number six, consider approval of resolution 2022-28, a resolution authorizing the City of Carlsbad participation in local government road fund program administered by New Mexico Department of Transportation for pavement rehabilitation on Pate Street and 6th Street. Mr. Cass.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Before you tonight is the acceptance, the award of $80,000 for rehabilitation of pavement on Pate Street and on 6th Street through New Mexico Department of Transportation's Municipal Arterial Program. This is $80,000 in total with a 25% match from the city of $20,000. We seek your approval to receive this funding.
Questions for Mr. Cass? Counselor?
Is this just for the road? Is this going to be for like sidewalks?
It is just for the rehabilitation of the pavement surface. Yes, sir.
Counselor?
Is it going to be a slurry seal like they're doing all these other roads?
That was what was submitted.
Yeah.
We're
not going to tear it up and everything.
No, it'll be a quick process once we receive the funding. It would be micro seal.
Further questions?
I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve. In a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Number seven, council committee reports. Does any councilors have any updates? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? Mr. Fletcher.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council, staff, public. I'd like to give a report from Holtec International. This came from their headquarters in Camden, New Jersey, where we're at on the project. So thank you for letting me speak. Holtec has been increasing their community presence in Leonetti County because the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC, license process for an interim storage facility for spent nuclear fuel is nearing the finish line. And as you know, Holtec and Eddie Lee Energy Alliance began the licensing process back in 2017. They knew it was going to be a long journey. And they're pleased that they are near the final decision on the license, the NRC licensing process for the High Store Consolidated Interim Storage Facility is very complex on a scale that's never been done before. The license process for Holtec and ALEA is rigorous, thorough, and transparent. The environmental and nuclear review has been done from the ground up to ensure the protection of the public health and safety. The NRC has informed Holtec that the final environmental impact statement, the EIS, will be published by the end of next month, by the end of July. The final EIS was investigated and written by an independent experts that were commissioned by the NRC. Holtec and ALEA expect the report to demonstrate that the proposed facility will not harm New Mexico's thriving oil and gas industry. The final ERS will also show that the Holtec project will not have an impact on ranching and agriculture in the southeast New Mexico. And that's all good news, as Holtec and ALEA are looking forward to bringing positive economic development to the region. The NRC will also issue the final safety evaluation report, which is called the SER, by January 2023. Which means that the decision on the license will happen about 30 days later. All good news for Holtec and ALEA, and they expect a favorable decision on the license. And once licensed, the interim storage facility could be operational as soon as late 2024. And wanted to remind you that the proposed project is a $3 billion capital project, with the majority of the money being spent right here in New Mexico. Holtec will also build a manufacturing facility here in New Mexico, a location which hasn't been determined yet. However, between the construction of the interim storage site and the construction of the manufacturer facility, the operation of both Holtec and Alia expect over 350 high-paying jobs. So Holtec and Alia remain committed to completing the NRC licensing process and remains equally committed to providing the country a safe, secure, retrievable, and centralized facility for storing spent nuclear fuel on an interim basis. So again, thank you for letting me read this report from Holtec. And if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Counselor.
Danny, you said it'll open by could open by 2024. Is that a political thing? Is that the election's 2024? Is that?
Well, if everything goes as planned, by the end of 2024.
Okay.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, right now it looks like we're on track. We're going to get the environmental impact statement by the end of next month. Holtec has already read it, and it looks like it's going to be fine. We'll get that. So it'll just wait until January when we get the final one.
I've heard the state already said they didn't want anything to do with this.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people up north and over west of here who would not like to see us have that here. Well, it's already been, the state attorney general already took the NRC to court and saying that the state had the right, and they lost, the state lost. So the NRC is the deciding factor. Now, that doesn't mean that the state's not going to try. We've already heard that Senator Steinborn and his counterpart in the House are going to make another run at us in January. So hopefully in the middle of that session, we'll get the NRC to give us our license, and then they'll start applying for permits then. So we still got a little bit of fight on our hands, but it's looking more and more positive.
Good job, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher.
Okay.
While you're up there.
I was going to. Don't forget 4th of July this weekend.
Yeah.
We've got a great 4th of July.
Danny is the chairman of the 4th of July committee. So.
And we'll have, on Saturday.
Everybody has a copy of this.
I don't have my copy. Okay, they got a copy. Well, plus, I don't know if you know, but on Saturday night, you're all invited to the VIP sponsor party at the Carousel House. It's going to be a lot of fun too. Sonny Throckmorton and his band will do a little playing for that too, but then they'll be the headliners on Sunday night too. Sonny Throckmorton and the Orange Beach Band. The Orange Beach Band is actually made up of pickers from Florida and from Austin, Texas. We're pretty excited about Sonny. I know we've had him here before. He just got told by the Country Music Association that him and Shania Twain are one of their honors appointees coming this October in their honors show. They have been designated poets by the Country Music Association, and that designation has only been given to 30 other people. So we'll have Sonny here next Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Excited about it. A lot of events we have DJs, we have local bands, we got Sonny on Sunday night. We're going to have a lighted boat parade. Chad and the chamber have been working real hard on that. I think we got about a dozen boats. Our theme this year is Liberty and Legacy. We came up with that, obviously, because 4th of July is Liberty. We came up with Legacy because we were talking in one of our meetings. We believe that the legacy of Carlsbad, New Mexico, is its people. People that live here every day, people like Sonny Throckmorton. And if you don't believe me, go over to the Hall of Fame at the museum, walk in that thing, and you can see the legacy right there. Professional football players, baseball players, astronauts, Hall of Fame songwriters, Hall of Fame female basketball players, And then the teachers that we've honored over there, some of the best teachers ever in the whole state of New Mexico. So we have a lot of legacies. The forest, it just goes on and on. We got a lot of legacy, and we want to honor that. We're going to have a board put up near the stage for people to come sign as a legacy, just John Q. Public. They can hang pictures on it. And then on the boat parade, we've selected probably about 50 of our legacies that we're going to invite them and do a lap around that portion of the river right there, and then follow that with the boat parade. And of course, on 4th of July, we got a great lineup too, with the headliner being Grupo Veneno. And every time we've had them here, they pack the place. They are fantastic. And then right after that, the best fireworks show anywhere. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So don't forget to come. Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience that would like to address the council?
I'd like to thank Danny for Saturday. Good show.
Well, thank you.
What?
I'd like to thank Danny for Saturday. That was a good show.
Yeah.
Way to go, Danny.
That moves us to number 8. Adjourn, and I'd call on Councilor Lisa Anaya Flores.
Mayor, I make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion.
A second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Niemeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Walter Scheidt.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
We're adjourned.